This is Pocket Presents, powered by Sleeper.
Pocket Presents gang, we are back. Week 5 is here, and man, is the NFL rolling right now. Tyler, we've got a bunch of different narratives developing. We have a lot of things going on. I feel like we're getting like some off-season type of activity during the season, while also teams have to play games and this and that. There's a lot of shuffling that's about to happen. Man, it's only week 5, and we have 18 weeks of the NFL now in regular season. So we got a lot of action to cover. How are you today?
I'm good. I can only think about, we have our first buys this week. The Eagles, for instance, have their bye. That might be much needed for them as they had no offensive weapons this last week. But how brutal would it be to then go on to have to play 13 weeks in a row? I almost think that the NFL needs to institute a second bye before they even go to 18 games. That a 13-week stretch like that, it has to be brutal.
You know, I would love for the NFL to have 2 bye weeks. I think that because the advantage and the disadvantage of bye weeks, like, call it which one. Right now, the Eagles probably do need a bye. Like, they're injured. They're pretty beat up. But for them to sustain 12, 13, 14, 15 weeks of play into the playoffs, if they even make it that far, that's obviously a disadvantage. I think the schedules and the way that they're aligned right now, there's definitely some advantages and disadvantages to be had. And I think 2 byes, look, give us 19 weeks of football. Give us 17 games. Extend it out one more week, and we'd be happy. We'd all love more football. I love more ball. You love more ball. We'd all love more ball. We'd get more player props that we can bet on one more week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Give me 2 bye weeks, commish. That's, I'm looking for it. So I think some of these teams are looking for it too. I think it would definitely like average out some of these weird games that we get late in the year where like teams roll out with no quarterback and 2 receivers, you know? But hey, we're in the thick of it right now. So yeah, I do like that call out.
Was there a week that you liked having your bye more than others? Was it, did you like having a late bye, early bye? Where would you prefer it?
I think midway, as much as midway as possible. Early on is kind of nice because it does create like a reset if you're having a bad start to the season. But if you're having a good year, man, like the more that you can get your bye week around later in the year, which a lot of teams have their division games stacked late in the year, to get an extra break there. And again, look, we do look at these Thursday night games. If you play on Thursday night, you do get like a 10 day-ish off from playing. So like people look at them as mini buys. I don't know who it was this past week that talked about it as kind of like a bye week. Maybe it was Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know, man. It does feel like with how long the season is, 2 bye weeks just makes sense. You see college going to it and they only have 12 games. Some of these teams have multiple buys. So yeah, I do think it'll be down in the pipeline. I'm sure the CBA is going to be talking about it. You know, like that always comes up. That'll be one of the bargaining things along with marijuana. So, yeah, I think we're going to be rolling pretty soon with that.
Yeah, it always is. You alluded to it. We have some off-season activity mid-season. No story is bigger than Davante Adams looking to be traded. A lot of people seem to think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be a New York Jet, but I want you to walk me through where you think some of his best landing spots might be.
Yeah, well, if I'm taking his friendship with Aaron Rodgers and his chemistry in that offense out, I think the Jets is the number one landing spot, obviously. I think he can go in, he can play week one or his first week there. He could be someone, in my opinion, that Garrett Wilson needs. Like, I'm watching Garrett Wilson tape this year, and it's not great. Like, Garrett Wilson's not playing great football this year. And it just is what it is. He's not playing up to the expectations that I believe a true X receiver should have. And Davante Adams can go step into that role right now and maybe teach Garrett Wilson visually how to do it. Because right now, Garrett Wilson's just not quite that guy. He's explosive when he gets the ball in his hands sometimes, but little mistakes, little miscues. He's just not ready, in my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. Now, if he does not go there, I would love to see him go to Pittsburgh. I think if you got Justin Fields another weapon besides Pickens, Pittsburgh, again, they're look, I was wrong about Pittsburgh this year. I thought that they were not going to be good. I was also under the assumption that Russell Wilson would be playing football for them. I love them with Justin Fields. Absolutely love them. We've said it since day one. If Justin Fields starts, they have a good chance. And now they're looking good. I know they lost a game last week, but they should have won that game. The refs blew the call. The refs came out on Monday after the game, said they blew the call, and that changed everything for the game. The Steelers would have had a chance to at least go to overtime, if not win, if they scored a touchdown on that drive. For those of you that saw the game, you know what I'm talking about. So the Steelers are close. The Bengals suck. The Browns suck. The Ravens are top dogs, but kind of not. Give them one more weapon with that nasty defense, and Justin Fields is in a whole new situation than when he was a year ago. So I would love to see him go to either the Jets or the Steelers at this point.
One team that you didn't mention, and it's probably unlikely given the divisional nature of this, but the Chiefs need a wide receiver. We saw Rashee Rice goes down. It looks like he might have avoided an ACL tear, but regardless, there's going to be a need for a wide receiver there. Maybe it's Davante Adams. The Dolphins are obviously floundering, and maybe it could be a Tyreek Hill reunion. What do you think the Chiefs do in that wide receiver spot, or do they just do what they did last year and they say, we have Patrick Mahomes, we don't need a wide receiver one?
You know, this is interesting because this will come down to the timeline of Hollywood Brown's injury, and I know it was a little more serious than they had initially thought. They delayed the surgery a little longer than they initially had wanted to. I think the Chiefs need to make a move because you look at them right now, dude, they are this close to falling apart. And I don't care. Say what you want, 4-0. Say what you want, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. They are this close to falling apart right now. And Travis Kelce clearly doesn't have the same juice in the tank. He still makes his plays here and there, but they cannot live and die with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce this year. They don't have it. Their defense isn't as good as it was last year. It's still good, but it's not as good. They will not be a 12, 13 win team if they don't get somebody for Patrick Mahomes to come play X and give them some extra juice. Xavier Worthy can make deep plays every once in a while, but he's not going to be that go-to guy on third down. They're going to double Kelce, and then someone else is going to have to step up. And right now they have no one else to step up, in my opinion. They got to make a move. I also don't know if Tyreek Hill is their solution either. They have their speed threat. Like, Tyreek Hill would obviously help, but I don't know, man. I'm looking at maybe some of these other teams. Like, what about the Broncos? I mean, I know the Broncos won't trade with him, but they need a guy like Cortland Sutton that's in a bad situation that they can go pluck out. And around the league, you look, it's like, okay, like who is that receiver? I don't even know at this point. And we can go look at the standings right now and kind of see who's in shambles.
I have a name.
But I don't know, man. Like, who can they get?
I have a name. Amari Cooper just restructured his contract. His cap hit this year, I believe, will only be $615,000. The Browns probably going in a different direction. He's an older receiver. Maybe Amari Cooper, someone they put on the block.
I don't think so, man.
Okay.
I just, from what I've seen out of Amari Cooper this year, he doesn't look like he should be like on the field as much as he is. This drop off that he's had has been crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Deshaun Watson's not playing good football. Amari Cooper's not playing good football. Like, he's really not. And the first few weeks were uglier than it was last week. He made a few plays here and there, but he's not that guy either, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. I'm looking at some of these teams that are down and out, right? Like, I don't know. The Broncos are 2-2, but they're still kind of fighting. The Jaguars are 0-4. The Titans are 1-3. Like, I would rather the Chiefs trade for DeAndre Hopkins at this point than Amari Cooper, because I think his play style matches up well with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, all of these teams, the Panthers, like, they just traded for Deontay Johnson. The Rams, the Cardinals, they're 1-3. Like, I just think at this point in the season, there's not really a guy they can go get. You know what I mean? Like, the ones that they could get in the division, Davante Adams, like, they're not going to do that. I doubt it. I don't know, man. I think the Chiefs might be screwed. Like, I know they're 4-0. People are saying what they want, but it's a long season, and this is not even coming out of Chiefs hate. This is coming out of, like, hey, I just don't know how they sustain this for an entire season. You look at their schedule coming up. They have the Saints on Monday Night Football, where, yeah, the Chiefs should win, but I think the Saints might upset them. The Saints, they've come close in 2 weeks back-to-back, going toe-to-toe. I think that the Saints can go into Arrowhead and beat a depleted Chiefs team. I actually think they can do that. And then they play the 49ers, and then they play the Raiders, and then they play the Bucks, and then they play the Broncos and the Bills. They get a game at the Panthers, and they play the Raiders again, the Chargers. The Chargers should have won that game last week. Like, the Chargers blundered some situational football, and that, I don't know, man. It's just kind of like, I know the Chiefs keep finding ways to win, but it's just not going to be sustainable this year unless they go get a weapon or somebody else that can prop up that offense. Looking across the board, man, I don't know. They're 4-0 right now, but it's not convincing to me. And we've seen this every single year. Teams start 4-0, take the Chiefs out of the equation, take Andy Reid and Mahomes out of the equation. They're not a really great 4-0 team. And it could very easily look like 1-3 right now. And they're finding ways to win, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't like it without the weapons that they don't have right now.
That's fair. You were talking about before we hopped on recording that you didn't think Mahomes was having a great season. I think a lot of people have pointed that out, especially when you look at his passing charts. He's just not taking some of the shots down the field, up the middle that you have seen him do in the past. And that's resulted in lackluster stats just across the board through the first 4 weeks. I want to talk through now some of your quarterback rankings this year. I was shocked when you said some of the names ahead of this recording. I'm assuming Pat Mahomes is not going to be in your top five, but looking at the landscape, how would you rank the top five quarterbacks right now?
Like we said, Patrick Mahomes is not in the top five right now. He has not done anything this season that even looks remotely close to being a top five quarterback. If he did not have the Super Bowls that he has, we wouldn't even be talking about him in the same conversation. Yes, history matters, but as of right now, today, power rankings throughout the season, it's a pretty interesting list, man. And number one for me is Jaden Daniels, with 1B being Sam Darnold. They are playing football they're playing the quarterback position, in my opinion, better than anybody else this season. And it's not really close. Jaden Daniels, he has 3 passing touchdowns, 1 interception. I think he has 3 rushing touchdowns as well. His efficiency is crazy. And it's not even like he's getting a bunch of easy gimme completions that are 2 to 3 yards a pop. He's having to make decisions. He's having to go through reads. I don't know what all these talking heads are talking about of him being a one read quarterback. It's like, turn on the tape, know what you're looking at, and you'll see a quarterback playing better than anybody has in a really long time. Starting the season this way, the last 2 people to start this way, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, with this completion percentage. It's insane. So give me Jaden Daniels at 1. Give me Sam Darnold at 2, which is just wild because earlier in the offseason, who were our 2 quarterbacks we were talking about? Jaden Daniels and Sam Darnold. We've been calling this since April. And Sam Darnold is even more impressive, in my opinion, because what he's had to become from where he was. Again, we knew he'd be propped up by the system, by the receivers, by Aaron Jones. 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Almost a 70% completion percentage. He is playing damn near lights out. And the interceptions that he's throwing really are like, he's just kind of being a little risky, but he's not like just doing it all the time. It's like, it could have been a big play, but he played his risk up because he's so far ahead in a game, or he's trying to put the dagger in the coffin. Like, give me Sam Darnold at 2. And I don't know, man, I'm looking at this list. Give me some Geno Smith love too. Geno Smith, I wouldn't put him at 3 right now. I think that there's guys that are playing better than him, but man, was he impressive last week. And he's been pretty much impressive all year. But Geno Smith is somewhere in that top 5. Joe Burrow, as of last week, like, Joe Burrow, honestly, all year has been playing pretty good football. He just fumbles too damn much. I got to put Joe Burrow in the top 5. He's got 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, 70% completion percentage. He's done enough for his team to not be 1-3. Like, Joe Burrow is not the reason why they're 1-3 right now. And then I'm looking down across the board. Give me Lamar Jackson, who's playing really, really good football. And then Josh Allen. And so if I'm going to talk about all of those guys in an order, my top 5 probably looks like Jaden Daniels 1, Sam Darnold 2, Lamar Jackson 3, Josh Allen 4, Joe Burrow 5. And again, I could probably shuffle out a few other guys. Like, there's guys that are playing right in that middle of the pack of the top 10, but that's how I'm going to go with it today.
I want to get your take on this. As I look through completion percentages, you mentioned Jaden Daniels with an 82.1% completion percentage through 4 weeks, which is a record. As I scroll down this list, you have to get to 20, between 19 and 20, where a quarterback goes below 65%. I've always assumed the standard for NFL completion percentage is somewhere in that mid-60s. What is it about this year where completion percentages are so high? At the same time, passing yards are down. There seems to be some correlation there. Walk me through what you're seeing.
Yeah, so we've seen it a little bit. People talking about how many teams are playing too high shell on defense. Too high shell lends itself to having a higher completion percentage from the quarterback and a lower yards per attempt or yards per completion. So too high shell lends itself to quarterbacks having a higher completion percentage because there's less defenders underneath, but less yards per completion because there's more guys that can rally to make the tackle. It's less running forward routes, more stopping routes. What we're seeing, though, and again, it's such a unique season because these teams normally play a certain way throughout like the first 30 to the 20 or the 10. like all the way down the field. And then inside the 10-yard line, inside the 20-yard line, defenses start to shift. There is a real big bend but don't break happening in the NFL right now. Teams are not willing to give these offenses just free shots to the end zone. And you even saw it in the Commanders game versus the Bengals a few weeks ago. Ja'Marr Chase had his deep touchdown pass early in the game, and then they did not give him that opportunity the rest of the game until the very end. And so defenses, I think, are just trying to keep things in front of them and play the field position game, play the field goal game. And look, you see teams that get down to like the 2-yard line and they're trying to get points on the goal line. It's harder to score from the 2-yard line than it is from the 5-yard line because there's less space. And so I just think that whole philosophy is translating into more of like open downs, open field play than it is just in the low red. And it's working so far. And at the end of the day, the reason why Jaden Daniels is playing so well is because he has been the most patient out of any quarterback in the league this year. Okay, you want to make me take 2-3 yards a pop? I will do that on a 15-play drive every single drive all the way down the field. They've gotten into 3rd and short and 4th and short so often this season because they weren't necessarily having to get it on 2nd and 8, 3rd and 8. They were just playing the, what do I have to do to get a first down? And that's why the Commanders have been so good this year.
Love that. I love that take. Let's hop into some games here. We're going to go through 5 of them, and we're going to start across the pond in London. Jets versus Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 2.5 right now. Little battle of the West Coast schemes. Minnesota's rolling, and the Jets are going to need to bounce back here.
Jets need to bounce back. And, you know, this game's weird because, again, the Vikings are rolling, and I keep kind of, like, not doubting them, but I'm like, this can't be the – like, this isn't going to be the week it just keeps rolling like that, right? The Jets' defense is their one thing that can just disrupt anything. And if the Jets just play sound defense, which they have, they need to play sound defense plus create turnovers that get capitalized on. I think that the Vikings are due for a little bit of a regression. And I think the Jets have a chance here to do that because of their defense. I also think that the way that the offense matches up, very similarly to how the Packers offense matched up when they stopped turning the ball over, this game should be, in my opinion, a little bit favored scheme-wise for the Jets and how they play offense. They're going to run the ball right at them, which the Packers got out of their run game so early because they got down 28-0 from all the turnovers that they didn't even get a chance to establish a run. But I think the Jets are going to make an emphasis of establishing the run and give the Vikings defense a little bit of a run for their money. Not yards-wise, not blowing up the scoreboard, but just like per play schematically. This game's going to be closer than people think, and I think the Jets do have a chance here, especially because it's not in Minnesota.
I like it. Rodgers is 17-11-1 against the Vikings. Obviously well-known, his domination against them in the NFC North. Talking about another NFC North team, Green Bay at Los Angeles. They're playing the Rams. I'll be in the house. -3, not a good thing. I was in the house last week against the Vikings, and that didn't turn out great. But regardless, Green Bay is favored by 3. It's probably going to be kind of a home game out there in L.A., if I have to guess. Green Bay lost a close one last week to Minnesota. Jordan Love didn't start hot. So what I want to start with this, Kurt, where I want to start with this is how can we script, we being Matt LaFleur, how can Matt LaFleur script Jordan Love into starting the game better than they did last week? Because it looked like once he knocked the rust off, things were great. But it took him a half of football to do that.
You know, I think that they've got to start by just throwing haymakers, right? Like, Jordan isn't necessarily the guy that needs, like, 2 or 3 easy completions to get rolling. I kind of think Jordan thrives on, all right, let me throw a deep ball here. Let me like feel what that feels like. Because once he gets dialed in on the deep ball, he feels like he can place that anywhere he wants it to. You saw that late in the game against the Vikings. It took a little bit to get it going, but I think if you get some one-on-one coverage, some no safety help, give him a few chances to throw some back shoulders or some deep balls, Romeo Dobbs, maybe Wicks, you know, like give him a chance to push it downfield in a relatively safe manner early. Because it's going to come back when you need it. When you need that big play, he's going to be more dialed in. I also think they need to run the ball downhill. I want to see them under center running the ball vertically. I don't really want to see them run the ball horizontally. Like, get Josh Jacobs going downhill, assuming he's healthy. Let it ride. So get that going. That gets the deep play action game going. Get the high crosses and all that with Romeo Dobbs. He crushes those. I just want to see them like start by taking the first punch and not easing their way into a game, because the inside zone with a bubble in the first play, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, no. Like, let's either punch them in the mouth with a run or take a shot deep. Like let's ease our way into that game that way. So hopefully they do it. We'll see.
What do you think about the Packers -3 here? They're favorites on the road. It makes me a little uneasy, but
yeah,
will you take the points here?
Yeah, I think they should win. I mean, assuming that the Packers defense is more healthy than it was last week, that was a little scary to watch. Their defense was pretty hurt with the DBs out. The Rams just won't be able to match up offensively versus the Packers starting defense. Like the Packers might only need 10 points to win this game if the Packers starting defense plays how it plays with all their guys.
All right. Make this line make sense for me. We have the Bills favored by a point against Houston at Houston. Probably the game of the week with Allen versus Stroud. The Bills have looked good, yet they're coming off a trouncing against the Ravens last week. Yet they're still 1 point favorites against a pretty good Houston team. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I really want to know if Joe Mixon is going to play because he is a lifeline for that team right now. And the running back room is really thin for the Texans. I still like the Texans though. Like I like the Texans defense, how they match up against the Bills offense. I think the Texans are going to win this game. I think the Bills are going to drop two in a row. I think that CJ Stroud is going to be sharper than he was last week. The Texans game last week shouldn't even have been as close as it was. They ended up winning 24-20, but CJ Stroud missed, I think, two touchdown passes. The Nico Collins like missed like they were open. He missed one for sure. One of them could have been a touchdown, would have been a big game. CJ Stroud's going to play better than he did last week. And I don't think that the Bills offense can match up against the Texans defense if they're humming. Like the Texans defense is pretty solid. They didn't show up great, obviously, against the Jaguars, but I don't know, man. I don't think the Bills offense has enough juice. They beat up on teams that are bad, and the teams that are good, I don't know, man. I'm not sold on the Bills offense right now. They do have some good play calls. They do have some good this and that, but the Texans play more zone than the Jacksonville Jaguars did a few weeks ago when the Bills ate them up. And the Bills last week, I mean, they couldn't do shit against that Ravens defense. And the Ravens defense has not been hot by any means. So I don't know. I mean, we are talking about a Ravens defense that let up 26 against the Raiders, 25 against the Cowboys, and like all of it in the fourth quarter. I don't know, man. I'm not sold on the Bills. I don't think the Bills are the best team in their division, to be honest. I think the Jets will be the best team in the division by the end of the year, but I don't know. The Jets have to get out of their own way too.
I completely agree.
So give me the Texans.
All right. Let's talk about two more teams who I don't really know what to make of. We have the Cardinals at San Francisco. San Francisco's favored by a touchdown. You know, this could be a trap game for the Niners, although saying that would imply that the Niners have been rolling, and they've been looking a little clunky coming out of the gate here too. And then you have Cardinals where, in flashes, they look incredible, and their offense looks unstoppable, and Kyler Murray looks like the MVP that you were hyping him up to be all offseason, and then you see them look horrible. So how do you think about this matchup?
This is going to be which version of the Arizona Cardinals defense shows up, right? Like, the Arizona Cardinals defense that held the Lions to 20 will probably help them win this game. The Cardinals defense that held the Rams to 10 will probably help them win this game. The Cardinals defense that blew the second half against the Bills, that's going to hurt them. And obviously last week against the Commanders, I will say divisional games are weird. I will say that the Cardinals are going to have to get in their bag and get creative. And I also think that the Niners, now that Debo's back, he's going to be one more week healthier. I don't see how the 49ers lose this game. I know how the 49ers are coached. I know how they're schemed up. I know their process week in and week out. They're not going to take any of these games lightly, and it's in San Francisco. Kyler Murray is going to have to play out of his mind, and the defense is going to have to get a few breaks for the Cardinals to have a chance in this game. And I'm sorry, Kyler Murray does not have the help that he needs. He has Marvin Harrison, but like Marvin Harrison, he's still a rookie. Yeah, he has some big plays here and there, but big plays here and there won't win you a game against one of the better teams in the league. You need consistency. You need a dominant performance. And I don't know if he's ready to do that against the 49ers defense. Man, I don't know. The Cardinals are so tough for me because their ceiling is how special can Kyler Murray be on that Sunday? And he can't be a superhero every single week, right? Like, and James Conner is going to have to be running the shit out of the ball for them to have a chance. And that defense is a tough run defense. So I don't know. Maybe they'll take some things out of the Vikings playbook, but they don't have Justin Jefferson. So I don't see how the Cardinals win this game, and I really wish that Kyler Murray played quarterback somewhere else.
Let's wrap it up with the Monday Night Football matchup. Saints at Chiefs. Kansas City's favored by 5.5. We talked about it. Mahomes in this offense need to right the ship. It's going to be hard without a wide receiver. And the Saints, they do not look like the super-powered offense they look like the first 2 weeks.
Yep. The Saints have tapered off. Teams have figured out a little bit how to slow them down. But at the end of the day, the Saints have two wins that they put up 47 and 44 points. And they have two losses that they lost by a combined of less than 5 points in. And both of those losses, they were winning with 30 seconds left in the game. The Saints are, the last two games for the Saints are kind of opposite of what's happened with the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been on the right side of those coin flips. I'm telling you guys, I think the Chiefs lose. I think the Saints go into Arrowhead with a don't give a fuck mentality, know that the Chiefs are a wounded animal right now, and go potentially pour it on. I've been in those situations in games, not in the games playing, a part of those teams where you just kind of know, hey, like, this might not go well. And I'm looking at this game. This one is a big old circled game for me. I think the Chiefs lose this game, dude. The Saints have the type of offense that firepower-wise could get out to a 14-0 lead, could get out to a 17-0 lead, and the Chiefs don't have enough to come back from that right now. They're not going to be able to go hurry up and throw to whoever the hell they have on their team to come back from a deficit like that. If the Saints can get Alvin Kamara going, if they can get Olave going, if they can get Shaheed behind coverage, and if Derek Carr can just fucking stay poised, the Saints should win this game. Like, I'm looking at this, and I think the Saints are the better football team. So the 5.5, whatever, I'd love it at plus 7.5 for sure. But I like their money line this week. I think they're like plus 200, plus 210. For the value, I think this game should only be like Chiefs minus 130 pregame, minus 140, maybe minus 120. Like, this is not the Chiefs are not 5.5 points better than the Saints. I promise that.
Your ability to come around on the Saints has been impressive this year. I hope Saints fans can appreciate the honesty, the humility that you've displayed starting this season.
Thanks,
not
dude.
Being the biggest fan, and now you're being honest. You like what you see. You're gonna tell it like it is.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm gonna tell it like it is, and I'm very recency film biased. Like, I care so much less about historical matters, but I care less about historical than what are you doing for me right now. When I made my take about the Saints in the offseason, what was the last thing we saw? Derek Carr about to lose his job, that offense looking abysmal, and they're looking like there was no hope in New Orleans. That was what I made my basis also off of. They came out, played really good football, and showed real signs of a potential dominant team. The Saints would have won last week against the Falcons. Like, the Falcons are another team that, like, I love the Falcons. But man, they've pulled out two wins out of their ass that, like, should not have happened. Like, Q hit like a 58-yard field goal to win the game, and the Eagles blundered that one game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. The Saints are a really good 2-2 football team. I think the Saints could easily be 4-0. And if the Saints were 4-0, if 60 seconds between two games went different, this line in Kansas City would not be minus 5.5. It would be two 4-0 teams, and the Saints would be looked at as the better 4-0 team than the Chiefs. If 60 seconds of time and space was different. I think the Saints show up on Sunday, or a Monday Night Football, I'm sorry, and have something to prove. I don't know, man. I don't think anybody's afraid of the Chiefs this year. I sure as hell wouldn't be if I was the Saints. I would look at them like, damn, our defense stacked up against their offense. Let's go eat. Our offense against their defense, they're not who they were last year. Let's go eat. I don't know. That's where my mind's at. Prove me wrong, Chiefs.
Let's wrap it off with some picks here, Kurt. We handed out a winner last week. Yeah. We had the Deontay Johnson, Shakir Pickens reception, 3 picks, and that was a winner. So let's do another one.
You know I love my picks. I love my alternate picks, so that's where we're going to start. We're going to go and scroll through these games. And what we like to look at is game script. The Houston Texans against the Buffalo Bills. What is C.J. Stroud going to have to do for them to win this game? I promise you one thing. C.J. Stroud's going to have to toss the rock. C.J. Stroud to go over 225 passing yards is 1.28 multiplier. I think he's going to have like 300 yards passing, but give me 2.28. And then let's go and see who else we're cooking with here. We got maybe some receiving lines. Nico Collins, 6.5 receptions. I'm not going to do it, but I like it. I like it. We're going to move on from this game. I'm going to take one from a few games of things that I know should happen. So CJ Stroud over 225 passing. Miami, New England, I'm staying far away. Far away. All right, San Francisco. You know who's really been consistent passing the football? Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy has had 230, 319, 293, or 292, 288. He has had a lot of passing yards every single week. And now he's playing against a really not so great Cardinals defense. Brock Purdy over 250 passing yards already gives us our 2x multiplier. We're close to it. So I love him over 250. And then you know who else has been really toting the rock? Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason has had 147, 100, 77, and 123 yards rushing every single week. This Cardinals defense will get the ball ran on them. He will be running for over 50. Why is it bugging with me? Don't bug with me. Here we go. Why is it not doing it? Oh, it might have just left. Jordan Mason, 50 yards rushing is a 1.1x multiplier. So this is the entry. This is all we're looking at. I'm looking at how do I double my money every week in a really likely way. CJ Stroud over 225 passing yards. Brock Purdy over 250 passing yards. Jordan Mason over 50 rushing yards. I don't care about all the other regular lines that they're setting. I don't care. Give me the alternate lines that hit 80% of the time. Give me doubling my money. $1 makes $2.16. I meant to do $10, but you get the gist. That'll over double your money. And you know what? We're already here. Let's do another one. I'm feeling good today. Give me the Packers, baby. You know what Jordan Love does? He throws the piss out of the ball. And I love his alternate lines. Jordan Love to throw over. Let's go 225 is 1.3. I love that. I love that a lot, actually. Then let's go to another game. Pittsburgh and Dallas. Ooh. CeeDee Lamb. Does CeeDee Lamb get 50 yards receiving often? He does every single week. 1.16. Does Justin Fields throw the ball well? He does. He has been. Does Justin Fields throw for over 150 yards passing this week? I think he does because that defense is suspect. That's 1.9. And then let's look. We talked about KC. We talked about this game. We're going to make this entry wait to play out until Monday Night Football. You know who's going to throw for yards this week, guys? Derek Carr is. Derek Carr, 150 yards passing, will bring us over our 2x threshold. $9 pays out $18.54, and I love this. This one makes me happy. I love alternate lines. If you guys are new here, just know one thing. Alt lines are the best lines because Vegas doesn't miss. So that's my entry. I got it. I saved it. I locked it in. I got two entries for you guys this week. Trust me. Do not try to go for the 8Xs, the 10Xs, the 25Xs. Go for the 2Xs. If you 2X your money every single week on likely things to happen, you'll look up in 18 weeks and be very happy you didn't just try to 10X it every week. Because after a few weeks, you will have 10X'd. It's as simple as that. It's math.
It's the picks equivalent of we have a too high safety look and we just got to take our completions and take our completions and take our
dude, you got to take your completions right. Every week, Tyler. Right. If you are putting money in the market, you just take your completions every week and you'll be able to sleep well. You'll be happy that you see green. Don't try to 10X it in a week. That'll burn you. Just take your little 2Xs and just keep dinking and dunking all over the field. It's been working all year. So that's the best that I can give you guys.
I like it. We got two this week.
But
and my encouragement to everybody, I get it early. So I get to do it I'm literally doing it as you're talking about it. But as you're watching, these lines change and these lines move. I call you a line mover, Kurt, because it's true. People will get on these quickly. So I encourage everybody to do the same.
They do. And guys, if you want to get your first time deposit, use code Kurt. It'll get you a $100 match. So you put in $100, you get $200 to play with. Also, sometimes we run some redeposit matches. Not right now, there's not one, but maybe if you comment redeposit, please, we can get Sleeper to bump that back out. And last time, I think we did a $25 redeposit match for people that already used the first time. So keep asking for it. We can make them deliver. We'll catch you guys next week. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you guys are bored this weekend, check out the film review videos. And we'll be watching ball and tweeting all weekend. See you guys.